2,000 years ago, St. John predicted a global revolution. We continue to break that down now as we examine his fourth seal next on Countdown to the Kingdom. I'm Mark Mallett, and I'm joined now by Professor Daniel O'Connor in Albany, New York. Welcome back, Daniel.
Good to be here. Thanks, Mark.
Well, my dear brother, we never thought we would get ourselves into the mess we have. But no, it's not really a mess, but it's an emotional series that we're doing on these seven seals in the book of Revelation. Chapter 6 is what we're dealing with in the book of Revelation. And we are watching our first videos now go viral across the world. We are watching the comments rolling in. Many comments of people thanking us with a lot of hope-filled comments. But people scared, too, of what's coming. And that's understandable. And I think that's a very human reaction. But we wanted to continue this webcast by simply saying that we're not here to unlock the book of Revelation like it's a puzzle. That's not how we're approaching this. Yes, we're looking at this timeline that you can see on your screen, and there's a chronological logic to what St. John foresaw as he, you know, we've applied a storm, like a hurricane. And by the way, this is a metaphor. It's not literal. Somebody asked, they said, is there really a great hurricane coming upon the whole earth? Well, you know, there could be, who knows? But no, this is a metaphor, this image that you're seeing of a storm. And the part that we are looking at is right now in these webcasts is the first part of this. From the time of mercy, which is the first seal, all the way up to the seventh seal. And today we're examining the fourth seal, which, as you can read here, it says social collapse. And as right. I was saying, Daniel, there's a certain logic to this, but we're not approaching this like a puzzle that, you know, Mark and Daniel have got the answers to the book,
of course,
to the
not.
Apocalypse.
Goodness. Yeah, we do not have the answers. That is not our goal here. Sure, there's a chronological dimension to this, but please don't, above all, don't over-linearize this. Don't compartmentalize this. There's ways in which we're already in some of the seals. There's ways in which some of the worst aspects of the seals maybe won't be seen until the times of the vials and the trumpets later in Revelation, which hopefully we can dive into at some later point. But our goal here is not to treat this as a jigsaw puzzle, as Mark said. It's not to figure it all out for you. There will be other interpretations, so be it. So what? We want to prepare you. Our goal is not academic, it is pragmatic. So if you try to fit this into a pre-existing academic debate about the interpretation of the book of Revelation, you're completely missing the point, because our goal here is to be effective in preparing you for what is coming by giving you a gist of the main themes of what we are in fact seeing already and what we will in fact be seeing even more in the coming times, so that you can be ready spiritually above all. Yes, we mention the physical every now and then, but that's anything but our focus. To be spiritually prepared for yourself, for your family, for your friends, to reap the great harvest of souls that the coming events are going to really enable like never before in history, because this is about right. The salvation of souls. Allowing the present order to limp on for much longer would not be in the best interest of souls. Mm-hmm. Change must come, and yes, it will be mm-hmm. painful, but Jesus is allowing it. He's allowing us to reap what we've sown, because it will be for our own good.
So each of these seven seals that we're explaining in this webcast and then the previous and future webcasts, to a certain degree, they're already opened. Maybe what we're speaking of here is the definitive opening of these seals. There's going to come a point, historically speaking, when these seals will have been opened and completed. And who knows, maybe that's the end of the world, but I don't think so. According to the book of Revelation, in John's vision, there is, first of all, in what you're seeing on your screen, the first part of this storm is man-made. And we really want to stress that. This is really what's critical about these seals. They seemed to be man-made, man reaping what he was sown. And in our first webcast on the first seal, we explained and gave you scriptures showing you how it was man reaping the whirlwind. But then as we get into the second part of the storm, as you can see on your screen, we go from the door of mercy into the door of justice. And the last part of this storm, this metaphor, is divine chastisements will come, as well as man-made chastisements. But divine chastisements primarily that will complete the storm, purify the earth, and bring about the reign of the era of peace, what Our Lady at Fatima said would be an era of peace on earth. And yes, you can see on your screen, it says Jesus comes to destroy the beast and to reign in his church. Now, we did not say reign on earth. He's not coming again to reign in his flesh. That's a heresy. The church has condemned it. But Jesus will come, and we're going to get into this and explain, you know, he comes, this rider on the white horse. It's a manifestation of his power. It doesn't mean Jesus comes on earth literally in his flesh. So
in
that
grace in the Eucharistic reign, it is yes. His kingdom. Yep. His kingdom must be on earth because Amen. He prayed it and because he promised it. And we'll share in a moment the fourth seal itself so we can dive into the specifics. But there, you know, just because we really wanted to start this particular webcast, because this is quite a seal we have, the fourth seal. There's a lot of frightful stuff in this that we want to prepare you for by pointing out to you again why we're doing this. And Mark just brought up this era to come, and I can't help but share a brief quote that Jesus gave the servant of God, Luis Picaretta, because he obviously knows what's coming, and he weeps over it, and we too should weep over souls for what's coming, not because we're afraid for ourselves, but because we love our brothers and sisters in the world. Jesus weeps as well over what's coming, but above all, he is excited about what's coming after. He tells Luisa, it is necessary to turn everything upside down, to knock down and destroy human beings, to upset the earth, the sea, the air, the wind, the water, the fire, so that many will put themselves to work in order to renew the face of the earth, to bring the new kingdom of my divine will into the midst of creatures. Many grave things will happen. And in seeing this, if I look at the chaos, I feel afflicted. But if I look beyond, in seeing the order and my kingdom rebuilt, I go from a deep sadness to a joy so great that you cannot comprehend it. That's Jesus said to Luisa. And that can be our outlook as well. If we knew the glory that is coming in the era after these chastisements, we would have a joy so great that it's beyond comprehension. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be what inspires you to fight for souls and to fight for his kingdom, because we are trying to prepare you for what's coming so that you can be the best soldier possible in the church militant.
What a glorious, glorious time we are entering into, Daniel.
The most exciting times in history. Thank God saints, you are alive right now.
Some of the saints wanted to live in this mm-hmm. era. Many of you are thinking, oh, why now? You know, I want things to go back to the way they were. And I will say it again. I'll probably say it now every webcast. It's time to put era in the rearview mirror. It is time to stop looking back over the plow. Jesus said, one who looks over the plow is not fit for the kingdom of God. And that's what is coming, is this reign of the kingdom of heaven on earth. You know, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been praying it for 2,000 years. It is coming. And it's time to put this era in the rearview mirror. And I understand your sadness. I feel it too. You know, I had a chance to go out with my family, with my father at the lake. So many memories out there at that cabin where my mother and my sister used to live. They've both gone on. I pray in heaven. And there's many memories, and there's a temptation to just, Lord, why? I don't want to go back and do another webcast. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't want to do my blog anymore. Mm-hmm. And then
Temptation to be normal. It's to a just temptation. Go to with the normal. Flow. Yeah. To suppose that everything can just keep going as it is. You know, remember, Mark and I we love our lives. We love our families. Mm-hmm. We don't have a vested interest in wanting to see the present order collapse, but it's what heaven is saying is happening, and we're excited to see what's happening after. So please don't set your hand to the plow and then look back, as Jesus admonished against. Don't be like Lot's wife, as we talked about in the last mm-hmm. webcast, who looked back on what was being destroyed. Yeah. Leave it in the rearview mirror. Don't even look at the rearview mirror, in fact. Detach yourself. Still keep doing the duties of your state and life, of course. You know, keep doing your job, paying your bills. Don't at all neglect what you have to do to be a good provider, if you're a provider or spouse or, you know, right. parent, child. But keep doing all those things and don't ever let anything we say dissuade you against that. But detach yourself from the present era, continuing on, because it's already over. And some people are starting to realize that now. It's right. already over.
You know, maybe the vision going forward for this, Daniel, is that passage from the book of John where Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. Brothers and sisters, it is time for the church, that grain of wheat, to fall into the ground and die. And when everything seems like it's dead and gone and the church has been annihilated, that's when the most glorious resurrection of this bride of Christ is going to come about. An era of holiness and peace unsurpassed. As Saint Louis de Montfort said, the saints of that time, and I would say even this time, Daniel, because these saints are already on earth, the saints of this time, of that time, will be like the cedars of Lebanon over the shrubs, he said. That's how different they will be. And all of the saints in heaven will share in that glory because they will see how the gospels have come true, how the word of God has been vindicated. Yes. Well, with that, then, we should probably continue now as we look at the fourth seal. And as Daniel said, we want to prepare you for this webcast. In fact, right now, I feel led right now, Daniel, to just say prayer over our reader, our listeners right now, because this is intense. What we're about to say in this fourth seal is intense. It involves a warning from heaven that was given in the 1990s that wasn't heeded, and we feel this is still yet to be fulfilled. But again, if we're walking with Jesus, if you're in the ark, you don't have to be afraid, but you have to be in this. You have to be activated. You have to be a part of this battle through your prayer, through your witness, through your love, through your fasting. And so, Lord Jesus, we just pray for all our viewers right now. We command the spirit of fear to be bound as people watch this. This is disturbing, some of these things. We know it is, Jesus. That's why you have wept. This is why you have cried. This is why statues have wept and cried, to be a sign to us, calling us back to you, and we haven't listened. But we pray, Jesus, that as people listen, they will respond. And perhaps in the response to this webcast, you will mitigate, Lord, some of these things that are coming. And so let's continue now as we go to our fourth seal on our timeline. And you can see it right there, countdown to the kingdom. And if you go underneath this graphic on our timeline, you will see tabs for each of the seals. We have gone now to the fourth seal, which Daniel is about to read, of the vision of St. John as Jesus, the Lamb who seemed to have been slain, begins to open the fourth seal.
Here we are in Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. When he broke open the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature cry out, "Come forward." I looked, and there was a pale green horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades accompanied him. They were given authority over a quarter of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and plague, and by means of the beasts of the earth.
Now, as we go now to explaining, you know, going to depth now in this seal, keep in mind what I said at the very beginning. This is a global revolution happening. So keep that in your mind. As opposed to thinking this as just being, you know, levels of evil unfolding, think of it that there's a purpose behind it, and an ungodly purpose. As I think it was Pope Leo XIII who said, there's a revolutionary spirit that has been disturbing the nations. And that is what we're seeing right now. And this seal is part of that global revolution to overthrow this order.
Yeah, it would be nice if we could say that these things were going to point to a random acts of violence or something like that. But I think if you look at what's really happening, it's quite clear that they're not, that this is a satanically coordinated rebellion against civilization as we know it, to usher in civilization as the Antichrist wants it, as the devil wants it.
I want to go then to a message from a seer, an American seer, Jennifer. She's on our website at countdownofthekingdom.com. And this is from, it looks like, April the 18th, 2008. And Jesus says to her, as you begin to see changes in your currency, so remember our previous webcast on the economic collapse, as you begin to see changes in your currency, you will find greater wars rise within areas around you. Neighbor will be against neighbor, and plagues will come forth. Again, I say to you, it is a time of purification. I allow this purification out of a great love for my people. So few know of me, and those who do have become lukewarm to the truth. Does a father not love his son if he disciplines him for disobedience? For it is his desire to show him in discipline, love, and guidance, and many of my children are being disobedient. The morals of mankind no longer exist. Woe to the man that seeks to be his own God. It is time for purification. That's a major point right there. When man becomes his own God, and that's what that passage we read the other day in 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist puts himself in the place of God. That is the epitome of lawlessness, when man says, we can be gods. We can go into the laboratory, use our science to create a new world, a better world. We can create life. We can do all this. Transhumanism now has gotten to the point where they're saying we can be immortal through interfacing ourselves with technology. Daniel,
as the Catechism says, an apparent solution to our problems at the price of apostasy from God. That is what is coming our way by way of the Antichrist, according to the Catechism itself. And that's what these prophecies are indicating here. And you know, Jesus said something so similar to the servant of God, Luis Picaretta, back in 1921 about what's happening today. He said, you are banishing me. He says, you are doing everything you can to cast me away from the face of the earth, to banish me from society, from schools, from conversations, from everything. You are plotting how to demolish temples and altars, how to destroy my church. I am preparing for you an era of love, my third fiat. Where you have banished me, I will raise my throne. And I will reign more than before in a more astounding way, so that you yourself will fall at the foot of my throne as though bound by the strength of my love. But then he says, the creature rages evermore in evil, however. How many machinations of ruin they are preparing, they will reach the point as to exhaust evil itself.
Jennifer warned, she said, neighbor would rise up against neighbor. And this is where, you know, we want to address something that Our Lady said back in the 80s, leading up, I think, into the early 90s, there was a warning in Rwanda that the people, the path that they were going in this country, that if they did not repent, if they didn't turn to Jesus, that there would be great evil. And Our Lady appeared to these children, as she often does, and these seers were given visions of rivers of blood, of people slashing each other with machetes. It was tremendous violence, obviously traumatizing for the children, but such pure souls were the ones who would then convey the message to the people of Rwanda. They didn't listen. And as you know, those of you who know your history, 800,000 to possibly 1 million people within 1 month were slaughtered in that nation. Now, here's the point we want to make about this, is that the children said that this message given by Our Lady, they said, it's not directed to only one person, nor does it concern only the current time. It is directed to everyone in the entire world. That is a stern warning from Our Lady. And I keep thinking of this over and over again as we continue to see violence beginning to overflow in the streets of Paris, in the streets of New York, in
Albany, New York, even here in lowly little Albany. I mean, you're seeing it everywhere. And I don't bring up Albany because there's anything special about here, but because there's anything special about where I live. It's just an example of how even ordinary cities. Here's my home city of Albany. This is a tiny city, relative, a few hundred thousand people maybe. So this would be news if it were 18 people being shot in less than a week in the Big Apple in New York, but it's not. I mean, and if the conditions were right, I could hear these gunshots from my house, these 18 people being shot in the course of a week. And why are we're seeing this suddenly everywhere. We're seeing killings, crime, shootings spiking. Well, because of this anarchy that is just becoming unbelievably evident before our very eyes. I mean, we could so easily turn this into a political talk show, and we won't, but we have to acknowledge what's happening. Just look at what happened with Seattle. These anarchists, they just claimed a whole part of the city, and they won't even leave now, even that they've been told to. And you might say that, okay, once they're cleared out, that'll be over and done with. No, the damage has been done, because that sent a signal to anarchists everywhere.
Well, and here's the spiritual warning.
The order is gone. Right.
Sorry, warning.
No, please.
Here's the warning, is that if we do not close these spiritual gaps in our life, we're at a time right now, I said this in the last webcast, God tolerated the cracks in our lives, but no more. Just the way in the desert, he said, I tolerated you for 40 years in the desert. And then he finally said, no more. It's the same thing with us. I mean, Our Lady was sent in June 24th, 1981, to Medjugorje. Next year will be 40 years since then. You know, in those messages, we were given five things: to fast, to pray, to return to the Eucharist, read the Word of God, and what was the fifth one? I miss it.
But the rosary, right? And then 40 years, as you said, 40 years I bared with that generation. That's such a significant number. We don't need to give you a scriptural lesson. I'm sure you recall how important that number 40 is, especially 40 years. And Mark and I are both believers in Medjugorje. We'll, of course, submit to the church. But there's something very special about that apparition. It's been called the last apparition, that when that ends, the secrets begin. And we don't have dates to give you, but everything seems to be converging on this being the time. We're now in the 40th year, you know, although we just passed the 39th anniversary a few days ago, that means we're now in the 40th year.
I think the warning is essentially we cannot play with fire and you're going to get burnt. If you're going to dance with the devil, he's going to step on your toes. And what you're seeing right now, I think, Dan, we're seeing the first whiffs of that strong delusion that St. Paul warned that would accompany the Antichrist, because people aren't thinking clearly. We're not seeing logic, and we're seeing these outbursts of evil. Now, there was a warning that came from former FBI agent John Guandolo. I heard this on a radio interview. He said he's aware of a plan among Islamic jihadists for a ground zero event that on a certain day, he claimed, there would be coordinated terrorist attacks in which Islamic militants were planning to attack schools, restaurants, parks, and other public places. Again, I'm not saying this. This was a former FBI agent, John Guandolo. This, when I heard this, the first thing that came to mind was Rwanda. Well, look, I know that's frightening. So what I think we ought to do is, rather than just, twiddle our thumbs about this and be afraid about it, is I think that we should pray. We should be asking Our Lady to, praying the rosary and asking our mother to intercede and prevent such atrocities like this. I mean, there are certain things that cannot be turned back, but we can mitigate them. It doesn't mean that every event that is possibly planned is going to happen. Our Lady said, by the rosary, you can suspend the laws of nature. You can turn back war. So maybe we can't turn it back everywhere, but in some places we can. So
yes, you can never lose hope that change, that we can still mitigate things. Up until the very moment these things are in the past, they can still be changed.
That's right.
By the power of God. No, the chastisements in general cannot be done away with. We were far past the time for that, but they can always be mitigated, as Mark said. And boy, is this first part of the fourth seal a rather terrifying one, objectively speaking. Yes, not that you should be afraid, but we will acknowledge how terrifying this is to see, because it's no longer hypothetical. We're seeing it in our own streets. You don't even need to check the news anymore.
Right.
You can just go out to the city nearest you and you'll see everything. You'll see things boarded up all over the place. You'll see violence. I mean,
these are real headlines you're looking at, folks. Yeah. I mean, people are calling for the need to kill white people. They're going into neighborhoods of the rich, saying, let's eat the rich. You see, folks, this is a revolution taking place. And I remember, Daniel, 2007, I got a word from the Lord. The Lord said, revolution is coming. You know, I have to be honest, I'm kind of embarrassed by this. I didn't really even know what the French Revolution was. I mean, I probably studied it as a kid. I had to go read about it. And when I read it, I realized this is what was coming to America. There was going to be a revolution. And you're already seeing it in the streets of America. You're seeing it in France. You're seeing it in other countries. And what we believe is that these seals are referring to it globally. So what we're referring to here is in their timeline, in that seal that Daniel read, the sword. And this is what we're referring to, is this sword, is this kind of violence that then becomes widespread, gang warfare and that type of thing. Now you understand why you need to be in the ark with Our Lady.
And in a state of grace, praying the rosary, be in Our Lady's ark, trusting in the divine mercy, trying to live in the divine will. You do these things, you're ready. If you don't do these things, maybe you're not. So please don't waste any more time in your conversion. And right. This is not just our speculation. This is what heaven is saying as well. Luz de Maria, this is a seer we believe to be authentic on June 13th of this year, 2020. So this is very recently. She was told, children, this time in which you are living is difficult, a test for all who are mine. And I want to get to a different part of the message in the moment, but this is from a message from Jesus to Luz de Maria. We're forgetting that this has been a test. Everything that's been happening has been a number of things, but it's been a test for the church especially. And boy, has the church failed this coronavirus test. Boy, have we failed it. We'll get into more of that on a later seal though. So the next thing Jesus tells her in the same message, a couple paragraphs down actually, is social chaos will spread like the plague from country to country due to the agitation of people. So this is, and it says also that this is the doing of man's enemy, that is Satan. So Satan is orchestrating this. We are giving into him. He can't control us. You know, we have to give him we have to actually make an act of the will, but that's what people are doing. They're lending themselves over to Satan, and he is agitating people using the circumstances of the day, and he is inciting this complete social chaos, as Jesus told Luz de Maria. And it's happening already, so we don't need to convince you of this.
Right.
Unfortunately, it is going to get worse.
And if you want to talk about seeds and planting seeds, these are the seeds that we are sowing, and this is the whirlwind that we are reaping. I mean, as we were recording this, we are in
today.
The fallout of your Supreme Court in your country, Daniel, striking down abortion laws there that were protecting babies. This has already happened in Canada. You know, in another webcast, maybe you and I can talk about the warning the Lord gave me for Canada. I will go to my grave that was a supernatural warning the Lord gave me, and I'll explain it at another time. But we cannot minimize that every day, 115,000 babies are aborted every day. There is no stopping it now. Supreme Court's judges are overturning the natural law, denying the rights of the vulnerable left and right. And so again, this is us reaping what we've sown. And this is why part of the seal, again, is not only the sword, but then he starts talking about famine as well. So you've got economic collapse, you've got war, you've got breakdown of civil order. This has to lead to a breakdown in your food supply chain, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a logical consequence, but it's also a prophesied consequence. Mm-hmm. We have this clearly being spoken of in Revelation here, the book of Revelation, but we have private Revelation speaking of it as well. I couldn't help but share just a brief excerpt from a message to Edson Glauber. This is from May 30th of this year. He was told by Our Lady, fast, fast, fast. Become used to eating little, because great famine in the world will come. Remember, my children, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from the mouth of God. But if many do not read and do not live out the words of God, let alone recall them, how can they survive and remain firm and upright in the faith? So yeah, quite literally. You know, we love to talk in the church today about fasting from all these other things, fasting from sin, fasting, fast from those things too, but also fast literally, because it's important above all for its own sake. Because it's a great sacrifice for the salvation of souls and the mitigation of the chastisements, the hastening of the era, but also because you're going to be fasting in the times to come, whether you like it or not. So let's do it prayerfully now, so we're ready to do it once circumstances force it upon us.
Yeah, we were talking before the show about, just speculating whether part of the message of Medjugorje, which was to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays, was also to prepare us for what it's like to be hungry, to go without food, and to know, to go without meals, and then maybe a meal the next day, and then no meals again. I mean, we here in North America, we're pretty plump, and it's an imbalance. There is famine in the world. There are people starving. There are people not far away from your from where you are, Daniel, in Venezuela, who can't find clean water. By the way, this is a social, this is the fruit of socialism right now.
Yeah.
This is what the young are marching in the streets, chanting for right now in America and all over the world. They have been deluded into believing that communism, Marxist, socialist principles are the answer, that capitalism is totally evil. And I agree, there are aspects of capitalism today that are absolutely evil, that are unjust and unbalanced. But the free market system is you know, the church has said that when it is puts the person at the center of the economy, that is probably the better, well, it is the better route to go. It has already condemned socialism.
Right. But the church condemns socialism categorically, right, meaning their socialism is absolutely not okay, according to the magisterium of church. And it only condemns capitalism if by capitalism you mean a certain something. So it does not condemn capitalism. It just condemns a certain approach to capitalism, right, what we might call anarcho-capitalism. But capitalism in and of itself is not something we should be rebelling against. It's something we should be just approaching wisely.
Right. So what you're seeing are these headlines right now of the effects of coronavirus in particular. So the food supply chains right now have been greatly damaged by COVID-19. The economic fallout... Daniel just disappeared on us here, and there he is.
I'm back, he's
gonna rejoin us here in a sec. I just had to bilocate somewhere real quick.
I'm back now.
that's amazing. Daniel's mystical gifts here, just right on display in front of hundreds of thousands of people.
Sorry about that. Don't know how that happened, but I'm back.
Well, I'm just gonna get you to mute your Skype.
Absolutely. Okay, just did it.
So what it was saying, though, when you disappeared and were bilocating, was the damage from COVID-19 right now is just unbelievable, what is taking place. I'm hearing of successful businessmen I knew who are running restaurants and so on saying, we have to shut it all down. So, you know, there's things coming down the pike right now that are pretty serious. We've already had famine. You know, there was an estimate here. I was looking at this one website, you know, over the last 140 years, 128 million people have died in famines. But you know, folks, there's enough food in the world to feed 12 billion, according to the United Nations. So these are the kind of evils that God is finally addressing them. And we haven't listened, we haven't repented, and therefore we're heading to the Great Depression 2.0. And so we're telling you this because you need to get ready for it. That's all.
And there's just so much more we could add now just from relevant to our last webcast that has come out in the news since then. I mean, these things are just being proven even more by the day. We just have to move on, because otherwise these webcasts would never end. But I think that you all realize that this is playing out before our eyes. So we have this famine coming, certainly. And another part of this famine is something that overlaps with a later part of this same seal we'll be talking about, but the locusts devastating enormous amounts of crops over in Asia and Africa. Mm-hmm. This is, if anything's biblical, it's locusts. We're having unprecedented degrees of locust swarms just destroying crops. Oh yeah, you even have it on the screen there. So right. Trillions, that's a big number. So this is in and of itself a crisis. When you combine this crisis with coronavirus, with the increasing civil unrest and violent conflicts going on in Africa and the Middle East, with the existing starvation and famine that already was occurring, this is a perfect storm.
Right. That's right. And so we have the sword, we have famine, and we have pestilence. And right now, we're in a time right now where COVID-19, as of this webcast, and things are changing by the day, is starting to reemerge again in the States. But we also see, we have some messages from some of the seers, I think, that we wanted to read.
Yeah, because, you know, you could say, we're in the time of plague now, and indeed we are. But, you know, I kind of... as the saying goes, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
The coronavirus has been devastating, yes, but what we've witnessed so far from it is nothing compared to what's coming. Pedro Regis was told back in 2006, I'll share just a brief excerpt from this message on August 12th, 2006. This is from Our Lady to Pedro Regis. She told him, humanity is heading for the abyss of destruction that men have prepared with their own hands. Mankind will carry a heavy cross. A disease will come, worse than all those that have already existed. Men will be contaminated and millions of cadavers will be spread everywhere. Millions. We haven't seen anything close to that yet. So what we've seen so far in this first wave of coronavirus is just a precursor, just a prelude. In fact, now that I said the word prelude, I should share this other message much more recently. This is to Luz de Maria on June 20th of this year. She was told that the virus keeping humanity in suspense has come as a prelude to the great trial that will befall all humanity. The unraveling of the shame of this generation that mourns those who suffer, those who die from this virus, but ignores the innocent who are continually sacrificed through abortion. I think we just talked about that. How we don't care that we're killing more people through abortion than by any other means. That doesn't even matter. And we're just getting worse and worse. Look at the Supreme Court decision in America on the very day we're recording this here.
Right. But, and the hypocrisy of of what has happened with shutting down the economy to save our seniors, when just a few weeks before COVID-19 broke out, we were passing laws to euthanize them. So there's such
And we're not saving seniors. You know, my godless governor of my state, Cuomo, he was why there was so many seniors dying in nursing homes, just sending people with coronavirus into nursing homes with no protections against it spreading like wildfire in the nursing homes. Mm-hmm. So you're not pro-life if you don't wear a mask, but we don't care about slaughtering innocence in the womb, euthanizing elderly people. It's diabolical disorientation. Mm-hmm. And it's utter madness. And there's not much lower we can sink than how low we've already sunk, which is why we see that we're at the point that evil is on the verge of exhausting itself. Mm-hmm. And when evil has exhausted itself, as Jesus tells Louisa, that's when these things will hit. But she's told as well, large hospitals, the message that Luz de Maria received on June 20th. Large hospitals have been constructed within a few days with a purpose different from that which was apparent at the time. Soon, they will be used. Hmm. The virus spreads across the earth, taking the world by surprise. Humanity will suffer from hunger. Impoverished nations will descend into strife. And then she was told another virus is coming and it will devastate people blindly.
It's interesting what she says about these tents. Read that sentence again, Daniel.
That these hospitals have been constructed within a few days with a purpose different from that which was apparent at the time, and that soon they will be used.
Very interesting. I'll just say this. This isn't the time to hold back, Daniel. People can take this for what you want. But the late Stan Rutherford was a mystic from Florida, had a tremendous conversion story. He was in an industrial accident, died, was put in the morgue in the hospital. So he was already in the morgue for 4 hours. When he got a little tap, he said, on the forehead, and he said it was a little lady. He said, called our little nun standing there saying, get up, it's time to go to work. When he described to one of the nurses who this little nun was, she said, my goodness, that was the Blessed Mother. Well, Stan was he's a hardcore, I think, Baptist or Pentecostal. But anyway, one of the things Stan told me, that he's confirmed so many things that the seers have written about on countdowntothekingdom.com and conveyed messages about. But one of them was he shared with me a vision of people being brought into United Nations type of camps. White tents is how he described them. So when I saw white tents going up in New York, Central Park, and in other places in America, I thought of Stan Rutherford. And it's interesting what Luz de Maria.
Yeah, because this is all connected. I mean, even this message to Luz de Maria connects so many things. It connects the existing distress with the virus, with our evil in abortion, with coming strife that we were just talking about, with coming hunger that we were just talking about. This is all, as we said, this is all part of one big satanic plan. But God's permissive will is allowing it all for our good. So remember, he's ultimately in charge. But yes, this is all being satanically coordinated. And yes, the persecution will be a big part of that. Those who will not sign on, those who will not receive the mark, there's going to be a major persecution of the faithful even before that time, and even greater persecution during the time of the door of justice. And they're preparing for that now. Make no mistake about it. We'll get more into that in later webcasts, but I'm glad you brought that up.
You know, and I just want to, you know, you just said something that triggered something, and I think this would be a good point to jump in and say, why is Satan doing this? What's the whole end game for this? And you might think, be tempted to think, well, this sounds like he's just planning the destruction of the earth, complete wipeout. But you know what? His ego is way bigger than that. His ego is to be worshipped, it says in Revelation 12 and 13. This is what the dragon is seeking, is to be worshipped in the place of Jesus Christ. And so what is this whole storm of doing? What is this whole, you know, great storm bringing about? Well, God is going to use this storm to bring about the era of peace. But before that, Satan is going to try and use this to bring about the age of peace, according to age of Aquarius. You see, the whole breakdown of what is coming is going to lead the world to a great deception, where someone is going to come forward, the one in tradition called the Antichrist, who's going to say, look at the sword, famine, pestilence, plague, economic collapse, injustices. Look at the hatreds, the violence. Stop it. We just need to love and to be one.
And to forget about our differences and our different religions and our different countries.
Let's stop poisoning the ocean. Let's stop ruining creation. I'm telling you now, the deception coming will be so powerful. Look to your left and look to your right at those who you know are Christians. They are going to be tempted by this. The way to get through this, St. John gave the answer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. After he talked about the strong delusion that's coming, the deception of the Antichrist, he ended that chapter saying, therefore, hold fast to your traditions and to the traditions you were given, both orally and written. That is the answer, to stand on the
faith. Stand firm on the rock.
Stand firm on your Catholic faith, on Christianity. That is the only way through this temptation.
And don't believe those who say the magisterium is confusing or complicated. It's not.
I hope you have a catechism always handy. If you are ever confused, open up your catechism, open up your Bible, and see what it has to say to you. It will answer your question for you. And you don't need to consult a committee of modern scholars to give you what Pope Francis really means by something or something like that. Your faith is very clear. Don't believe those who say it isn't. So you need to set your face like flint, to never deny a single tenet of the faith, no matter what, come what may. Much more so than ever before in the past, because the time where that will be demanded of you is at hand. The time where the apparent solution to your problems, that's what the Catechism says the Antichrist will offer, an apparent solution to our problems. So when the world's problems are at their worst, he will come onto the stage and offer the world an apparent solution at a small price: apostasy from God. And that apostasy from God, it doesn't have to be this big, dramatic act. If it's all it takes is that you renounce the faith in some way. And it's not going to be confusing or complicated. Again, if you stick to what you know the faith is, you'll be fine. But you have to set your face like flint right now to do that. And if you don't set your face like flint right now, you won't be ready when the time comes.
And so the fourth seal just describes more of this breakdown, this planned revolution by the Antichrist and those who are in cahoots with him. Right now, those, as we said, those, some of those globalists, some of those philanthropists, some of those, if you can say that word five times fast, these are the ones who are planning this, and they're utterly deceived because they really do believe, Daniel, they really do believe that humanity needs to be called, that the population of the earth is too great, that it can't sustain itself. That is a bald-faced lie. You know why it's a lie? Because when God said in Genesis 1 or 2, go forth and multiply, be fertile, fill the earth, he said.
Right. His God will isn't the sitting earth be filled.
He's not sitting here in 2020 going, doggone, I didn't do the math.
I know. I didn't think there'd be 7 billion. Goodness. No. There needs to be tens and tens and tens and tens of billion people filling this planet. That's his goal. And that's hopefully where we'll get during the year. We'll see. I don't know the details of that. But you can't believe those lies of overpopulation. We are underpopulated. Mark brings up an important point. We're not judging souls. When we talk about these big names that are likely behind some of these nefarious plans, we don't know if they're doing it in malice or goodwill, and it's not our business. Our business is to look at objectively what's happening and tie it into what heaven's saying and what scripture says so that we're ready to respond, not to condemn anyone's soul, which is far above our pay grade and we'd never attempt to do anyway. So we've gone through sword, famine, and plague, and there's much more we could say about each, but there's just not time to say everything. But this leaves still one enigmatic part of the fourth seal, the beasts, by means of the beasts of the earth. And remember, we're talking about aspects of the fourth seal that will bring about the destruction of one quarter of the population of the earth. This is huge amounts of death, and it's not difficult to see that with plague and famine and sword, that would that'd be getting up there in the number of people killed between these. But we also have this rebellion of the earth. And this is a general theme, and I don't want to dwell on this for too long now, because I want to stick, if we can, a little more closely to what Revelation is saying with the word beasts there. But there is this general sense of nature rebelling, not because nature has magical abilities to like hurt us if it sees we're doing bad, no, but just because the elements themselves naturally almost rebel against man the more sinful he gets. Mm-hmm. That they, the elements themselves, remain in God's will, and when man sins, he degrades himself so low that it is just almost automatic for the earth to chastise him. So we don't need to go saying that every earthquake and every volcano is deliberately sent by God. Those too are actually, they can really be. And I don't want to go into the specifics of saying this volcano is because of this sin. No, of course not. But generally speaking, it is safe to say that even chastisements like that are the result of mankind's sinfulness. They're not the result of CO2 molecules in the atmosphere. That they're the result of mankind's sinfulness.
And it's interesting to note that he says that, you know, a quarter of the earth will be killed by wild beasts. Well, it's interesting because the coronavirus, there, you know, even though more and more scientists are saying this was likely developed into a bioweapon in a laboratory, and they're very credible scientists saying this now, it would have derived, they're saying, from a wild bat nonetheless. And so there you have right. An example of
The beasts are quite literally. And so that's a good point that we should move on to here. We don't need to consider just generally the rebellion of the elements, the rebellion of nature against man, which will be increasing. Volcanoes, earthquakes, storms, all those things will be increasing drastically and taking many more lives than they ever have. But also quite literally, the beasts of the earth. We can see coronavirus originally likely coming from one. We're not saying it wasn't made in a lab, but it was modified in a lab. If it was made in a lab, it still had to come from nature in some way. Mankind doesn't have the ability to create something like that ex nihilo.
Right.
But also just, we have so many other things other than just coronavirus chastising man now, and it's increasing drastically, and I'm sure will continue to increase, of the beasts chastising man. Look at something as simple as Lyme's disease, ticks. This tiny little insect that's often referred to today as like the subtle and unspoken pandemic. Right. It is destroying so many lives. I know many lives that have been horribly affected by Lyme's disease carried by these ticks. We have malaria and Zika being carried by mosquitoes, destroying so many lives. It is not at all a stretch to say that quite literally this part of the fourth seal is being fulfilled before our eyes and will continue to drastically expand.
Well, Daniel, that pretty much explains the fourth seal. So we've gone from the first seal, the time of mercy, the second seal, which is peace shattered, the third seal, economic collapse, the fourth seal, social collapse. And in our next webcast, we will address the fifth seal, which is a minor persecution of sort. And we are already seeing it now in this street.
When we say minor, we don't mean easy. We just mean it's not the persecution of the Antichrist.
That's right.
It's significant. It's painful. It's largely here already, at least in the rumblings. And we'll see it dramatically increase soon. But yes, for the next webcast, that.
Because in every revolution, there is always an attack, an attempt to overthrow the church. And this will be the same once again. That is Satan's plan ultimately is to dethrone the church, to dethrone Christ, and to set up himself to be worshipped in the person of the Antichrist. And so with that, Daniel, I think we should close this webcast with a brief prayer again and just ask the Lord to just seal everything we have said. And there's that word seal. But to seal what we've been saying, you know, under his protection, because many of you have families, you have children, you have grandchildren like me, and you're scared. I mean, the things we're saying here are objectively scary, and they should be, because God never planned death. Death wasn't part of God's plan on earth. That was never part of the plan. But God can always use these things for a greater glory, and he is. He's going to bring about a greater glory. And so we just ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, because you are the Savior of the world, you are the great mediator between us and the Father, we ask you, Jesus, for everyone watching this right now, that they would know your love and your presence, that you would pierce through the dark themes of this webcast and make your light and your presence known. Because you said, Jesus, I will be with you until the end of the age. And so that's his promise. He says, you will have trouble in the world, but don't worry. He says, I'm with you. My peace I leave, my peace I give with you. Do not be worried and anxious. He would say time and again and over, be not afraid. And Jesus says it to us now. He didn't put a caveat on that. He didn't say, well, when these things happen, then be terrified. No, he just said, when these things happen, you'll remember that I told you so that you would be ready. So Jesus, help all of us who are watching and participating in this era, in the close of this era, to be ready for your great coming, Jesus, when you will establish your reign on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this, Jesus Christ, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Mark Mallett on behalf of all of us at Countdown to the Kingdom, including Christine Watkins, Peter Bannister, and my good friend here, Professor Daniel O'Connor. We are praying for you, and God bless you.
God bless you.